begin with this from Rob Fuquay. He says, Easter occurs not in spite of death, but because of it. Easter occurs not in spite of death, but because of it. Christian faith offers hope because it faces death squarely and moves through it, not around it. It means that pain, disappointment, and heartache are not final realities. Pain, disappointment, and heartache are not final realities. Maybe we have that in mind as we hear the good news of the risen Christ as Matthew records it in his gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. If you would, in honor of the reading of God's word, please stand. Matthew says this, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Think about those moments in your life, especially for those of you who are warriors. And I'm not calling anyone out. I just know that for some, like you feel like your spiritual gift, the thing that you offer to the world continuing to rotate on its axis is that you worry. Amen. And if you are closely connected to someone who is not a worrier, then you feel like, well, that is why I am here, because I'm going to worry for both of us. Because you don't worry. But think about those times, even if you're not a worrier, when you just feel like you imagine that scenario and just like you can picture like this is my greatest fear in this moment. You know, and it can be something like, man, you know, poor Grayson walking in to a very crowded room and his family's already standing up front here and we all clap for him when he comes in. Like maybe that as a teenager or anybody, if you're an introvert, like that's your greatest fear, right? Your greatest fear would be like, man, you know, if we ask for, you know, if we're all together and Vern asks if anybody wants to pray, you're like, don't make eye contact because then I know he's going to call on me, you know, and that could happen. But it also might be something like the result of a diagnosis. There's just a way that you're afraid that it's going to turn out, and you feel like your greatest fear is going to be realized. And that can be different things at different points in our lives. And I want us to consider that while those things may be true, and while things may play out exactly the way that we were afraid that they were going to play out, that even the finality of whatever that thing may be, if it's loss, even the finality of that thing does not have the final say in Christ. I know that some in this room have experienced loss recently. And what I just said does not change that fact. And so I want to be clear that I'm not saying that that didn't happen or you're not going to continue to feel the weight of that, because we will. Right, one of the realities, that one of the tensions in which we live, is that we have this kind of already not yet when we talk about God's kingdom. That kingdom has been inaugurated and has begun in the arrival and the work of Jesus, and we as the church are carrying that work on until the day that Jesus returns to establish his kingdom forever on this earth. But until that day comes, we are faced with life in a broken world, in which there will be loss, in which there will be disappointment, in which sometimes our fears come to pass. But in Christ, that fear does not have to have the final say. the outcome or what seems like the finality of that thing we are promised in Jesus is not the end of the story. I want us to think about the women who went to the tomb this morning. In all of the gospel accounts, we see that it is the women who are followers of Jesus who are the ones that went to the tomb. And different writers, different gospel writers record different details in that. We hear in one account that the women went loaded with spices. In Luke's account, they went loaded with spices so that they might properly honor Jesus. They might properly see to his burial, if you will, even though he's already in the tomb. But they're just doing the thing that they feel like is the best thing for them to do. They're just doing what they know to do. And it's a way for them to go and to honor him. Knowing full well that when they get to that place, to the garden, the tomb that's in the garden, they are expecting to find the stone exactly where it was placed when they laid Jesus in the tomb. And they are expecting, perhaps, to find the Roman soldiers, the guard, standing there. And so it's easy to ask, what did you expect was going to be the outcome of you wanting to go and honor Jesus? And I think the answer would probably be something like, we didn't think that far ahead. We just wanted to be near the place where we knew him to be. We didn't exactly know how that was going to turn out. We just wanted to be near the place where we knew he was going to be. But for the women, all things being equal, on this resurrection morning, their greatest fear was not realized because they came to a tomb that was empty. And Matthew, I love the way that Matthew records this in very dramatic fashion, if you will. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I mean, that's that's the greatest flex that the angel could have offered in that moment, if that's such a thing. I mean, angels probably already think highly of themselves, and so flexing is not something that they need to do. But if that were a thing, what a great flex for that angel to roll back the stone, move it out of the way, and then just sit down on top of it, as if to say, boom. Thank you. You want to come preach? We got a microphone. I can hand it right to you. Love you. As if to say boom, right? In that moment, though, in that statement, on behalf of the Father, what the angel is saying, because the angel in that point is just the messenger. The work is God's. And that is one of the things that Matthew is clear in the writing of his gospel and the way that he writes his gospel. One of the things that Matthew is clear to reveal is that this is work that God has been doing from the very beginning. That is why one of the reasons that Matthew begins his gospel with the genealogy that led to Jesus. He doesn't just begin with the birth of Jesus. He just doesn't just begin with the Annunciation like Luke does. He goes all the way back because he wants his readers to know God has been up to something from the very start. So the angel is merely a messenger, been sent to do the work that God, to represent the work that God has been doing. But to roll the stone away, to sit down on it, to say boom, to flex in that moment is to say, hey, that was cute what you did to post the guard. And that was cute what you did to roll the stone and to put a seal on it, as other gospel writers say. In as if you could keep Jesus in that tomb, as if you could make sure that death has the final say. These Roman guards that they posted at the tomb, these weren't this is not the JV squad. These are not the guys that, they didn't kind of pass muster and they're like, well, you know, these guys, they're not really worth much. Let's put them on guard at the tomb and make them stand there through the night. Because remember, if you will, from last week in Matthew's gospel and talking about the crucifixion, the concern was that the disciples of Jesus would come in the middle of the night, steal the body, and then begin to spread rumors that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And you know, so Rome is like, well, we can't have that happen. So let's make sure that we post guard and do everything that we can to seal this tomb up tight. So the guards that they would have chosen, these would have been seasoned Roman soldiers, men who had seen, you know, battle, if you will, men who were the best of the best, standing there guarding the tomb all night. And the angel comes, rolls the stone out of the way. We read that the soldiers become like dead men. They faint out of fear for what just happened. The angel sits on the tomb as if to say, this does not end here. This is not where the story ends. I want you to consider that for your life. What is the thing that is ahead of you in which you feel like this could be the end of this part of my journey? Not to say that your life necessarily is coming to the end, but this thing, I feel like I'm bumping up against what feels like very much a dead end here. What if it were not? What if there was the possibility of something more? Maybe the dead end does is a chance for God to just reroute you, but to know in the rerouting that thing is not the end. That thing does not have the final say. The angel rolls the stone away, and this is important for us to understand, not so that Jesus could get out. The angel rolls the stone away so that the women could peer in, so that Peter later on could come and peer in. At the sunrise service, we read this morning that Peter, after being told what happened, goes and peers into the tomb and finds that it's empty and goes away wondering what happened. What permission we're given to wonder about the resurrection. In John's gospel, my boys and I were talking about this morning, John makes sure to write that Peter started out for the tomb ahead of him, and John makes sure to record for all eternity that John ran faster than Peter and got there before he did. What a dog. Forever, Peter is left, you know, with people thinking he is the slower disciple. But they go into the tomb, peer in, see that it is empty. The stone was moved not so that Jesus could get out, but so that we might get in, so that we might see. This is not how it ends. Death does not have the final say. This thing in our world that is, it is the exclamation mark, it is the period, it is the end of the chapter, the end of the story. In Christ, we find that that is not true. That death does not have the final say. That we, as for any of you who have said yes to life with Jesus, and if there are any of you here for whom that is not true, I pray this morning that you will consider that for your life. That there is nothing in your life, nothing that you have done, the cross tells us, that puts you outside of the reach of God's grace. Washed clean. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That when God looks upon us, he sees his son. But the empty tomb tells us not just that we are forgiven, but that we are offered new life. Life that will go on forever. Life in which we walk from death into eternity as we sing in one of our songs. That in a blink, the next breath we find is in the presence of God. That offer stands for all of us. And for those of you who have already said yes to that, then know, yes, the tomb is there for us to peer into, to be reminded this morning, wait, this is not how this ends. God was up to something more than this. And so the women go on from that place, because the word that the angel had for them was, do not be afraid. He has told you that this was going to happen. And even though we can know the promises of God, we can reach a moment in our lives where we forget. We forget that God had said he was going to do this. We forget that God said that neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We forget that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will soar on wings like eagles. We forget that the one who watches over us neither sleeps nor slumbers. We forget that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. We forget that when we give ourselves over to the hope of life in Jesus, that we are promised an eternity with our Heavenly Father, the place that we were meant to be from the very beginning. We forget. And so the angel invites them, look, but don't stay here because the story doesn't end here. There's more story that he's writing, and you need to go and experience it yourself. You need to go and witness it. So don't be afraid. Instead of fear, remember the promises that he gave you, because those promises are being fulfilled. He said he was going to do it. Guess what? He's done it, and you got to go and see him. You got to go and encounter him. And so they leave, full of joy and full of fear. And I love that those two things can exist in the same place. That we can be afraid of what this might mean, or saying yes to whatever the next step in life with Jesus might be. There can be fear in that. But don't ignore the joy that stirs up at the thought of something new. Don't ignore the joy that stirs up when we realize that there's possibility beyond what we can see and what we can imagine. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. This is a difficult word to translate, greetings. It is a very informal greeting. It would be like saying, hey, y'all. Or, good morning. Hello. The man who is approachable longs to be approached. Jesus, the risen Savior, the one who is seated on the throne, in this we are reminded of how approachable he is. Jesus, the rabbi, Jesus, the man, meets these women full of joy and fear, running to find the disciples, and simply says to them, hello, good morning, good to see you, hey y'all. It would be easy for us in the pomp of Easter to forget the God who is approachable in the person of Jesus. The one who in our seeking comes to find us. So know that as you are seeking him, as you are seeking the risen Lord, he is seeking you. And he has an appointment that he will not miss. He meets them and they respond in the only way that's appropriate. They clasp his feet and worship. It's the appropriate response for us this morning. To fall at his feet and worship because of what he's done and what it means for us. But he then says, hey, there'll be time for that later. There's something else for you to do. Go and tell my brothers. Friends, what a beautiful picture that is of the grace of Christ. The men that denied him, the men that he called from nothing and invited to be his disciples, the men who denied him, the men who betrayed him, the men who left, the men who heard it is finished and said, well, I guess that's it. Some of them were preparing to go back to fishing because that's what they knew. Others were in hiding. Others, Judas, out of the guilt and shame of what he had done, ended his life because he couldn't bear to live another day knowing what he had done. And yet Jesus in that moment says, go and tell my brothers that I'm going ahead of them and I'll see them. Go and tell these men that I love, that I called to be my own. Go and tell them I'm going to meet them. So they went. Friends, the message of Easter and the hope that is promised for us in this is not ours alone. It is meant to be shared. It is meant to be shared. And so as we worship this morning, as we consider the risen King and the hope that is available to us because of that, I wonder for you, who is it that is desperate to hear in your life, to hear that word of hope? The women didn't have all the answers, but they didn't need all the answers to simply go. They had the moments, the times that you have encountered Jesus. That's the testimony that you share. That's the story that you tell. That's the reminder that you are offering to people that, hey, this is not the end. God is doing more, and it's more than you could ever imagine. And my hope and prayer for you this Easter Sunday is that you are willing to say yes to that for yourself, but you're willing to be an ambassador of that good news in this world that is so desperate for something to cling to. In Luke's gospel this morning at the sunrise service up on the parkway, the women were asked, why do you look for the living among the dead? Friends, there is a world full of people looking for life in dead places. All they need is for someone to come and say, hey, there's no life here, but let me tell you where there is. Let me tell you about the man that I met whose name is Jesus. May we be so moved by the power of the resurrection that we take that into the world around us. We're going to sing a couple more songs. Is that okay? All right. Would you stand and pray with me? Father, we confess to you that there is so much about the resurrection that we do not understand, that our finite minds cannot comprehend that Jesus, though he was very much dead, is very much alive. That the tomb is a place that is empty. And for all of the empty places in our hearts, God, may you inhabit them. May you inhabit them in such a way that we as a people stop looking for life in dead places. That we as a people are willing to leave, to run full of joy and fear, to trust that while we might not see what's next, we can know that it is good. Because you are a God who is good, because you didn't leave us to our own devices. Not only did you make a way for us to be forgiven, but you made a way for us to live a new life and a life with you forever. May that inspire our worship. May that dictate every step that we take from this point forward. May we be a people who goes forward and says, hey, this is not the end. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His name. Amen. Let's sing.